Today's Mishnah is our Masechtes Peya, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalet and Mishnah Hey. Today's Mishnah is being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Reb Aryeh Tzvi, Ben Reb Chanoich Hendel, the Kozhaglov Goyen, Hashem Yim Kom Domoy. So, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalet and Mishnah Hey discuss the halachos of Oilolois. So, Oilolois are in the same family as Leket, Shikha, Peya, Peret. It's one of the Matnois Aniyim, and as a result, it's discussed here in Masechtas Peya, because as we've seen, although the name of the Masechtas Peya, but the topic of the Masechta is not exclusively Peya. Rather, the topic of the Masechta are different Matnois that a person was obligated to give from his field to the poor people. It's called Peya because the beginning and really the majority of the Masechta deals with the laws of Peya. But really, the Masechta deals with all different types of Matnas Aniyim. So one of the important types of Matnas Aniyim is Oilolois. Now, the Makar to this concept of Oilolois is a pasuk in the Torah. It's in Parshas Kedoshim. It's in the same psukim where the Torah talks about Leket and Peya and Peret. In fact, the pasuk says, V'charmecha, if a person has a vineyard, loisa oilel. So whatever oilolis is, there's a loisa say. The word loy means it's a lav. Additionally, the Torah says very clearly, what are you supposed to do with the oilolis? Just like the peya and the leket and the shikha for that matter and the peret you're supposed to give to the ani and the ger. The oilolis is the same thing. But the only thing that's not clear is what exactly is oilolis. So Rashi in Chumash asks the question. Says Rashi, loisa oilel. A person is not allowed to take the oilolis inside his vineyard. What are oilolis? Any cluster of grapes that doesn't have a kosef and it doesn't have a notef, that's what's considered oilolis. So we know oilolis has something to do with a kerem, something to do with a vineyard, something to do with grapes. You know that loisa oilol means you can't take the oilolois. We know there's a lois assay. There's also the assay lo'ani v'lager taze v'oisam. Rashi gave us a definition of what oilolois is. Not so clear. Our Mishnah is really the source of Rashi, and our Mishnah is going to talk about the most basic definition of what exactly oilolois is. If you were ever curious, this is the Mishnah to learn. Talk to Mishnah, Ezoi, oilolois. What exactly is oilolois? Kol she'ein lo, lo'i kosei v'lo'i notef. So, if you can picture a cluster of grapes, there's one stem that's long, what's known as the shedra, the spine of the cluster of grapes. In a perfectly healthy, mature cluster, you would have a bunch of mini clusters that would come out from the side of the shedra. So you have one stem, and then branching off, literally, are a bunch of clusters. Now, if you have a picture, which is worth 1,000 words, so you would see that the top part of the shedra has a bunch of clusters that are branching off to the side. As you come to the bottom part, it becomes much narrower, and over there the grapes are facing downwards. The clusters of grapes that are in the top part of the shedra are what's known as kosef. The grapes that are coming downwards, that are on the bottom of the shedra, they're what's known as natef. In terms of the etymology of the word, kosef is a shoulder. The clusters of grapes that are on the top of the shedra are stacked on top of each other, and it looks like a person's shoulders, where he has something that's on top of the shoulders. So you have one cluster that's on top of another cluster that's on top of another cluster. It's all stacked in a way that mirrors shoulders, and that was the lashon that Chazal used to describe exactly what it is. The word natef means to droop. The grapes on the bottom of the cluster are drooping downwards, and as a result, it's called natef. Here's the point. If you have a eshkol of anofim, you have a large cluster, and there's no kasef, and there's no natef, that's when it's going to be oil. It says the Mishnah, yesh lo kasef oy natef. In the event that there is a kasef or there is a natef, meaning either one should balabais, at that point it's not going to be oilless, it's going to belong to the balabais. So the only time something is oilless is if it has both no kasef and no natef. It doesn't have either one of them. If it has one of them, it belongs to the balabais. In sofik, what if you have a sofik? What if you're not sure if it has a kasef or a natef? And the Rav says that the case of sofik would be where it looks like maybe it's a kasef, but you can't really tell for sure if it's a kasef. There's something there that makes you think it might be kasef, but you're not sure. If it's a sofik, what's the halacha la'aniyim, it belongs to the aniyim. Another halacha, oilu l'shabar kuva. What happens if a person has a whole bunch of clusters? And within the clusters, one of the clusters was an oilulis. So you have a whole bushel of grapes. One of those eshkoilois, clusters inside the bushel, were oilulis, but the rest of them are not. So what's the halacha? Im nekretes ha'meshkel, if when the person was going to harvest the grapes, so when he takes off the oilulis, he would take it off together with all the other grapes, hareisha balabayas, then it belongs to the balabayas, then it's not treated as oilulis. Im lav, if however, when it comes time to cut the oilulis, you would cut it independently, hareisha lanim, then we look at it as oilulis, then it's going to belong to the anim. So if when you're going to cut it, you're going to cut it together with everything else, then we're going to look at it as belonging to the balabayas. However, if you're going to cut it individually, so now you're only cutting the oilulis, oh, now it's oilulis. And if it's oilulis, it's going to belong to the ani. Gargir yichidi. What happens if a person has an eshkol? He has a cluster of grapes, but instead of the traditional way, which is, like we said before, you have a stem, there's a shedra, and then you have a bunch of mini clusters that are coming out of the side. Over here, you didn't have mini clusters coming out of the side, but rather you had individual grapes that were coming out of the side. So there's individual grapes as opposed to stems that have their own grapes on top of those stems that are coming out of the cluster. So again, shedra, that's the spine. Usually you have little branches, and those branches have clusters on them. Over here, instead of having clusters coming out of the shedra, you had individual grapes coming out of the shedra. Now, this is important. There was a kasef and a natef, meaning you had the regular shoulder and the regular drooping grapes that were coming out of this main shedra. However, it wasn't clusters, it was individual grapes. So do you look at it as oilus or do you not look at it as oilus? As the Mishnah Tzemach Leikis, Rav Yehuda says eshkol, we treat it like an eshkol, meaning it's going to belong to the balabayas, it's not oilus. We are going to treat it as oilus, even though it's individual grapes that are coming out. At the end of the day, it's going to be treated like oilus, and the halacha is, it's going to belong to the ani. So the Mishnah discussed the halachas of oilulis. That's definitely the topic of the Mishnah. But there's a very, very important line that the Mishnah said. Something that we've seen now for the second time in Masechtas Peah, and I believe it's worth pausing for a second and just noticing it. And that is, the Mishnah said that what happens if you have a safek? You're not sure if this thing is oilulis or it's not oilulis. You can't tell if it's a kasef and a natef. You don't know if it's oilulis or not. So it said the Mishnah, safek laniyim. It belongs to laniyim. So if you have a cluster of grapes, and you can't tell, you have a safek, ask a shayla, I don't know. What do? You have to give it to the aniyim. So if there's a safek oilus, you give it to the aniyim. I mentioned it's the second time we had this, because we had earlier in the Masechta Perek Dal Mishnah Yod Alef, over there the Mishnah was talking about leket, where a person has a safek leket. The case is where a person had an ant hole inside his field, and he found tefuah there, and he's not sure if it's leket or it's not leket. Rameir said, hakoy la'aniyim, that if you have a safek, whether this thing is leket, you have to give it to the aniyim. She safek leket, leket. Because if you have a safek, whether something is leket, talach is it's leket, you have to give it to the aniyim. So safek oilulis is oilulis, and safek leket is leket. It feels like safek matnes aniyim belongs to the ani. And the truth is, if you think about it for a second, it's a very big chiddush. Why? Because we know the rule. Anytime there's a safek mammon, I have money, you claim it's yours. You can't prove that it's yours. It's a safek. Maybe it's yours, but you can't prove it. What's the halacha? Zeh klal gadol badin. If you want to take money from somebody, you always have to bring a raya. Leket is money. It right now is something that has value. It's shava kesef. It belongs to the balabayas. Oilulis is money. It's shava kesef. It belongs to the balabayas. So why is it that suffik leket is leket? And why is it that suffik oilulis is oilulis? Shouldn't we say amoytzi mechaveri olav araya? It's a safik mamin. Safik mamin, you always say, "Amoytzeh mechavrei olav araya." Let the ani come and prove that the leket was leket. Let the ani come and prove that the oilulis is oilulis. And then I'll give it to him gladly, b'kavod gadol, however he wants it. But until he can prove it, l'chayra, it should be a safik mamin. And isn't the rule safik mamin, "Amoytzeh mechavrei olav araya"? So why is it safik leket is leket? Safik oilulis is oilulis. What happened to the principle of "Amoytzeh mechavrei olav araya"? The truth is, it's not so posh. And the reason it's not so pashut that the way we should treat safik matnas aniyim as a safik mammon, because in addition to the mammonous din and component of all matnas aniyim, there's also clearly an issur v'heter component as well. By each one of the matnas aniyim, as we've repeated many times, there's a loisase and a say. Let's talk about leket and oilolos. Leket, for leket kitzircha lois alaki. There's a lav in the Torah to take leket. There's an assay. La'oni v'lager tazav oisam. As it relates to oilolos, v'charmacha lois oilol. You're not allowed to take the oilolos. Again, an assay. La'oni v'lager tazav oisam. So the truth is that sofik leket is a sofik moment, and sofik oilolos is a sofik moment. But mitzad sheni, in addition to it being a sofik moment, it's also a sofik iser. Because at the end of the day, there's a lav. Forget about gzela. There's a special lav in the Torah of aleket kitzer chalois alaket. There's a lav in the Torah of vecharma chalois oilo. So really, just like you're looking at it as a safik moment, you could also look at it as a safik iser. So how do you treat safik manasaniyim? Do you treat it like a safik moment, or do you treat it like a safik iser? Maybe that's the pshat in the Mishnayos. Safik leket is leket, because although there is a moment component, but it's also a safik iser. And safik iser, you have to go lochomer. You can't take it, because maybe you're being over the iser of a leket kitzer chalois alaket. Sophic oilolus, again, is oilolus. Why? Even though it's a Sophic moment, but it's also a Sophic Isser. And beside the Sophic Isser, I'm not allowed to keep it because it's alive in the Torah that says V'charmach Eloisa oilol. So the truth is a little tricky when it comes to looking at all these matnesanim, leket, shikha, peya, peret, oilolus. Do you look at it as a Sophic moment, or do you look at it as a Sophic Isser? And the truth is, there's a long ran in the first parak of Masechtas Nedarim, Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, the ran in Nedarim, where the ran brings a big shiloh in the Rishonim, how you look at Sophic matnesanim. Do you look at Sophic matnesanim as a Sophic moment, or do you look at Sophic matnesanim as a Sophic Isser? There's also a Gemara in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, Amar Aleph, that learns this halacha of Sophic leket leket from a pasuk. The Yerushalmi brings another pasuk. The Rav in the Mishnah earlier, Perek Dal Mishnah Aleph quotes the Pasuk of the Yerushalmi, not the Pasuk of the Bavli. There's some lumdis from the Torah Zroim on this topic. So really, this is a very, very lumdish topic. Basi Rak L'Oyer, just to mention, this is the second time we had this idea, that Safik Manas Aniyim is going to belong to the Aniyim. What happened to Zed Klal Gadol B'din HaMoitzim Mechaveri Olav Arayu? And the truth is, it's not so simple at all. Zok, the Mishnah Vayter, Mishnehei, Hamedel B'kfanim, what happens if somebody has a vineyard? And what he was doing was he was weeding out his grapes. So one of the things that the farmer would do is if he felt that there were too many grapes that were growing in the same area, so he would try to thin it out a little bit. So he would remove some of the grapes, he would thin it out. Like this, it would help it grow a little bit better. So the Mishnah says if somebody's doing that to his vineyard, just like he weeds out what belongs to him, Kain who made the b'shal aniyim. So too, he should do the same for the aniyim. Schelik divi Rabbi Yehuda, azayhel Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, we're talking about a person that has a vineyard, and he has oilless inside his vineyard. Let's keep that case, it's the simplest. So there's oilless inside the vineyard. Who owns the oilless? The ani. It doesn't belong to him. The ani v'lager tazay v'oysam. So really, part of this belongs to him, part of this belongs to the ani. So the question is, when he starts farming, should he only focus on what's his? Or should he focus on what belongs to the ani as well? So Rabbi Yehuda says, just like you're taking care of yours, you take care of the ani's as well. Rameir argued. He said, "B'shalayhu rashay." His, he's allowed to. The inu rashay b'shal aniyim. However, as it relates to the aniyim, that's not something he's allowed to do. And the reason Rameir holds that is because Rameir holds, at the end of the day, the oilus doesn't belong to you. And if the oilus doesn't belong to you, you have no right to touch it. You can't walk into somebody else's field and decide that you want to start thinning it out because you're going to help it grow better. It's not yours. If it's not yours, you have no right to touch it. The oilus belongs to the ani, and because it belongs to the ani, so the person doesn't have a right to do it. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda says, it's true the oilus belongs to the ani, but you own part of this field, and the ani owns part of the field. And the way we look at it as if you're shutfim. And just like one shutif is allowed to thin out the pairs of his shutif's field, so too in this case, this is something that the person would be allowed to do.